You, Lord, are my shepherd. I will never be in need. You let me rest in fields of green grass. You lead me to streams of peaceful water. And you refresh my life. You are true to your name, and you lead me along the right paths. I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me, and your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe. You treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. You honor me as your guest. You fill my cup until it overflows. Your kindness and love will always be with me each day of my life, and I will live forever in your house, Lord.
Amen. Let it be so. Uncover your ears. Open your eyes.
A reading from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives up his life for his sheep. Hired workers are not like the shepherd. They don't own the sheep, and when they see a wolf coming, they run off and leave the sheep. Then the wolf attacks, the flock scatters. Hired workers run away because they don't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I give up my life for the sheep. I have other sheep. They are not in the sheep pen. I must bring them together too. When they hear my voice, then there will be one flock of sheep and one shepherd. The Father loves me because I give up my life so that I may receive it back again. No one takes my life from me. I give it up willingly. I have the power to give up and the power to receive it back again, just as my Father commanded me to do.
Struck. It really did. We were beside ourselves. The phone line was down. We were incommunicado. But our worthy office did not panic. On the wall in the office it says, keep calm and carry on. And we did, via the mobile. Well, I was thinking about communication and how did we get on before Instagram and mobile phones and smoke signals, I suppose. We told stories. We told stories to communicate the meaning of our lives. And one such story that is so familiar with us that it's worth repeating, and that's the story of Moses. Now, you know, Moses was found in the little reed basket on the Nile by the princess. And she did something which was quite surreptitious, I suppose. She took that little baby home to the palace and adopted him. Moses grew up in an Egyptian palace. All was fine until he grew up to be a young man. And he noticed one day that a taskmaster was savagely beating one of the Hebrew slaves. And in that moment, he sort of identified with what was going on. And in a moment of anger, he up and he slew that taskmaster. Well, of course, he's now a murderer and he's on the run. And he finishes up in the desert and is taken in by a group of shepherds. And the shepherd, whose name was Jethro, happened to have a daughter called Zipporah, and she was not a bad looker, so he finished up marrying Zipporah. So far, so good. That's the story that's told. But the rabbis added their own midrash. Moses was looking after the sheep, and one of the little lambs wandered off. So Moses followed the little lamb to see where it was going and noticed that it got to a shady spot where there was water and was drinking. And Moses went up and knelt down and said to the little lamb, I didn't know you were thirsty and you must be tired. So he picked up the lamb on his shoulders and brought it back safely to the flock. And then God said to Moses, because you have shown compassion to one poor little lamb, you will be my leader to be a shepherd to my flock Israel. It's a made-up story. It's Midrash. But it's a powerful story. It may have come about when people say, hey, how come Moses is our leader? Because he showed chesed, the Hebrew word for compassion, compassionate love, love. That's what Moses was showing in his leadership. Oh, let me tell you about another shepherd. Well, his name happens to be Thomas. Thomas was a character in a BBC production, a four-part series, dramatic production of The Nativity. And Thomas was a shepherd. Now, Thomas was poor. He had a wife and a baby. But he'd been mistreated by the Romans and was angry and threatened to do some very bad mischief, but stopped in time. And he had an expectation of what the Messiah would be like. The Messiah would come and rescue them and put to rights all the injustice that was happening where he lived. And then the bailiffs came. The bailiffs came because he had not paid the Roman taxes. And he hadn't paid the Roman taxes because his wife was very ill. And he needed that money to buy medicine. So the bailiffs took most of his flock. And then he heard of the birth of a baby. And in that moment when he saw that baby, it came to him that the God he thought would come to rescue them would not come like that, but would be one who really was interested in their plight and understood. Well, that's Moses the shepherd and Thomas the shepherd. But today we're talking about Jesus the shepherd. Jesus the shepherd, well, what images do you have? On the notice sheet I put a little piece there. Of course it's all been very much tissied up, so that's lovely. Probably Jesus got blue eyes. White Anglo-Saxon Protestant, cute little lamb that he's nursing. Very, very much not the real shepherd. In Palestine, in Israel, the shepherd was poor. The shepherd was the lowliest of the low, came from the lowest socioeconomic group. It was tough, it was rough. More like, I suppose, the Australian scene, where it's tough out on the land. This Jesus is a tough Jesus. This Jesus is a subversive Jesus. How do I say that? He said about the sheepfold. Well, when they heard about the sheepfold, of course, they were all in it. They were all part of the great promises of Abraham. They were part of the great tribe of God's people, the promised ones, it was wonderful. And then Jesus said, there are other sheep, not of this fold. I must bring them also. What? Other sheep? Not of this fold? We're the ones. not those outsiders. There will not be in my fold a Jewish fold and a Gentile fold. We will be in it together. Well, that was a bombshell. And there's still those who would say, we want to keep the church as a safe place by keeping others out. What was Jesus saying? Don't build walls. Stop building walls. Remember the story of Jonah? Jonah was a wonderful story. Again, told, not read, not put up on data projectors. It was a story about the way the Jews had wanted to keep themselves to themselves and the outsiders out. And that story about Jonah who reluctantly went to the city of Nineveh and said, God's going to destroy you, but I don't like it very much. And it didn't get destroyed, and he was a bit upset about that, was really saying, these people are part of who I love. Or the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip, happily going along in his chariot, saw the Ethiopian eunuch, who of course was very devout, but he wasn't allowed to go to the synagogue or to the temple because he was a eunuch. The rule said you cannot be a father, therefore you cannot be part of the kingdom of God. And Philip baptized him. He was in the fold. Well, what's the message for today? Those who are in want to keep others out? Or, you know, in Morialta we have not committees, we have ministry mission teams. And the mission is to be welcoming and to break down the walls, open up the barriers and show chesed. That Hebrew word, it's a lovely word, chesed. Compassionate love. That's our mission. And we're to be like Jesus, the good shepherd, who opened the doors to those who weren't in the fold. Amen.